Good day, everyone. So glad to have you here. I just want to give a special shout out to Freedom House and the ladies that are here in Oklahoma City today. So I'm so thrilled about what is happening in their lives and what God is doing there. And so I'm also thrilled about the new series coming up, Stories. And if you're not familiar with what we're going to be doing over that time frame, is basically we're going to be taking some real true stories of individuals, and we're going to be sharing their story. And it's going to be very powerful. So invite your unchurched friends, family members to be able to come and to be a part and experience this. Because we're going to be communicating the gospel in a very different way than we normally would, which I think is really going to open people's hearts to be able to receive the truths. And all of these stories have amazing miracles behind them too. So make plans. That's in a couple of weeks. Now, we're starting a new series this week called King. And this is going to be something I haven't ever done before, but it's going to be a two-part series. So we're going to do the first part over the next couple of weeks. Then we're going to start the series, Stories. And then I'm going to come back in August, and I'm going to continue this series, part two. So in part number one, we're going to talk about King Saul. Part number two, we're going to talk about King David. Now, with that, would you turn within your Bibles, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 13. And if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. You can go to your leather-bound Bible. You can go to your phone, YouVersion. You can go to some digital device that you have. Or if you just want to follow with the big screen in the sky that's in the room where you are, then you can do that also, okay? So I'm going to start with verse number 14. Just read one verse here. And then when I'm done with this one verse, if you want to follow along in Scripture, I'm going to go to 1 Samuel chapter number 9 and chapter number 10. It's where I'm going to spend the majority of my time. But now, your kingdom must come to an end. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. Now, this is Samuel, the prophet, the seer, the spiritual leader of the country of Israel, who has a word from God to the present king. That present king is Saul. Now, just to give a backstory, Saul is the very first king of the nation of Israel. David, who we will go to next, is the second king of Israel. Now, God never intended for Israel to have a king. The only king he wanted them to have was God, the king. But they wanted to be like everyone else around them. How many know a lot of our problems happen because we want to be like people, what? Around us. And so they wanted to be like the other nations, so they kept demanding, 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 and finally God said, okay, I will give you what you want. I want you to stop and think about that. Sometimes God will allow you to get what you continue to beg for, but if you get it, it still won't be the best thing for you. Okay? So, we're going to dive into this over the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to continue David in a few more weeks. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. God, I pray that you just speak to us clearly, concisely. May your anointing be upon me. I desperately, desperately need your anointing. I cannot make it without your words flowing through me. But God, we cannot have life change without your spirit touching the ears of every person to receive the word of God that's planted in our hearts. Water it and bring harvest today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. My series title is Start Strong, Finish Stronger. And I want you to turn to a couple people right now and just tell them that. Start strong, finish stronger. Start strong, finish stronger, and then you can be seated. The human heart is an amazing thing, wouldn't you say? I went to all sorts of wisdom and knowledge to Google and began to ask and find out information about the human heart this week, and I found out some very interesting information that I thought I would share with you. Some things I had heard before, but I had forgot. Some things I did not know about is that the human heart beats 100,000 times every day. Now, you don't even think about it. The involuntary act of the heartbeat 100,000 times a day. It beats 35 million times a year, and it beats 2.5 billion times in an average lifespan. Your heart pumps 5 quarts of blood every minute, 2,000 gallons per year, and 1 million barrels of blood is pumped through your heart in a lifetime. The average person has about 6 quarts of blood in their body, depending on your size and gender. Those make a little bit of a difference. But 6 quarts of blood, and that blood travels an astounding 12,000 miles every day. That's a trip from Los Angeles to New York 4 times. You're a busy person. Your blood system, your vessel system, which includes your blood vessels, your capillaries, and everything, if it's put end to end, would be 60,000 miles. Did you hear that? That's 2 times around the Earth circumference. With each beat that you have in a resting heartbeat, a heart can squirt blood up to 30 plus feet. And do you realize that your heart is in a resting state of a deep sleep is still 2 times more powerful than your quad, which is a major part of your body, operating at a full sprint? No wonder the Bible says that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made, one scripture and translation says. But as amazing as the human heart is, that really kind of blows our mind in regards to being able to think about its capacity. It says here that God is looking for a man after his own heart. So how about the heart of God? And what does that look like? In this series, we're going to talk about two people, Saul and David. And there's a little bit of Saul and a little bit of David in all of us. Which one are we going to feed? And are you going to default to the heart of man, or are you going to pursue the heart of God in your life? Is anyone tracking with me? Let's look at Saul then to understand who this guy is. Saul is being searched for as the next king, and it opens up in chapter number 9 in verse number 1, and it says, there was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. His son, Saul, was the most handsome man in Israel, head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. So what can we gather from him? He comes from an influential family. Father's well known. He has some fame. He has good looks. He has stature. You know, in our culture, it's all of those things that you would need to be successful in life, right? He had it all. Or did he? Or did he? Later on, when Samuel would go pick the second king, he went to Jesse's house because God had directed him there. And Jesse's father had brought in his 7 sons, but one was left in the backside of the pasture. And so he brings in the sons, and as he sees the first son, Eliab, he sees his height, he sees his good looks, He recognizes his talent. And he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Not realizing that God's choice was the little boy on the backside of the pasture taking care of the sheep who had been left out of the invitation. And here's what God said to Samuel. He said, but the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. For the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the, say it with me, heart. But Saul started good. Matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that this was not God saying, I'm going to give them a bad person. No. Saul started off right. He just didn't finish strong. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 10. As this is what it says about Saul when he was anointed that day to be the king. He says, as Saul turned and started to leave, God gave him a new, say it with me, heart. And all Samuel's signs were fulfilled that day. You see, God told Samuel that I want you to anoint a new king, and I'm going to send you that person. In fact, he told him the very next day he's going to show up, and when he shows up at your place, you're going to know who he is, and you're going to anoint him as king. And so, the day before, Kish, the father of Saul, has a bunch of donkeys that are missing. And David goes out with his servant looking for these donkeys. And so Saul goes out with his servant looking for these donkeys and actually stumbles onto the prophet Samuel, who is looking for the next king of Israel, which is amazing to me. The donkeys led him to his destiny. I'm telling you, God will use donkeys in your life to get you to your destiny. Do you understand what I mean? There's another word I can use there. It can be a donkey at work. It can be a donkey who's a boss. It can be a donkey you live with. It can be a donkey. I'm telling you, God, don't despise the donkeys that God places in your life, because the donkeys can be used to get to your destiny. God can use whatever means. And he gets Saul on the journey to chase him after these animals, and eventually leads him to Samuel. And God anoints him. Please listen to this. You see, he made some wrong choices. And God later on would look at him and say, I grieve that I ever chose him as king. When it's one thing to disappoint mom and dad. It's one thing to disappoint your boss. It's one thing to disappoint, you know, friends and family and other people. It's a whole other thing to disappoint God. I pray that in your heart that there's a desire inside of you to please God and to have an audience of one, that above everything else, you want to honor God, you want to please God, you want to bring glory to his name, you want to represent him well, and you say, God, my objective in life is not to just disappoint other people. Yes, I want to please some people, but I don't want to displease you, God. I want to honor you, and I want to glorify your name. That should be our hope. You see, what matters in your life, as we learn from Saul, is not how you start, but how you finish. And there's some right now that are looking at me that you've started bad. And you've had some tough goes. And you've made some mistakes. And you've messed up. And you've went through a divorce. And you've went through financial failure. And you've made bad choices that have hurt people. And people now won't forgive you because of what you did in the past. But let me tell you something. It's not about what you have done, but it's about what you are going to do. It's not about how you started, but it's how you're going to finish. Ultimately, God takes our mess ups and he does something with them. Every single one of us are a bunch of screw ups that have messed up many times, and you may mess up again. But when you mess up, don't throw in the towel. You keep fighting the good fight of faith. When you fall on your face, keep getting back up. The Bible says that a righteous man may fall 7 times, but a righteous man keeps getting up. No matter how many times you fall, no matter how many times you mess up, you keep getting up and moving forward. It's not about the start, it's about the finish. Saul started good, though. But he didn't finish well, which is sad, because he didn't have to. Here's how he finished. He finished with a heart that was far from God. He finished dealing with jealousy that got control of him, as he would be so jealous of a young boy coming along named David. Which brings me to the point of, you know what? Even though in chapter 13 he had been anointed, he'd been told that there's a new guy that's going to take your place, that didn't happen for 15 years. Which says to me this, just because you are staying in your present position and it seems like you are having the favor of God, if you're disobeying God and running from God, it's only a matter of time. And just let me say, you may be the David who's been anointed the next king, and God's hand's on your life, and you may be in pastures, and you may be in caves, and you may be running for your life, but when God has his hand on your life, it's only a matter of time before he gets you from the prison to the palace. It's only a matter of time. Anger he's dealing with. He threw spears at people. Revenge he dealt with. Pride. Arrogance. Disobedience. Rebellion. Witchcraft. Why would this man who had a touch of God in his life turn to witchcraft? He's wanting an answer for direction. And God is saying, wait, and I'll give you that answer. But he got insistent, I've got to know, I've got to know, I've got to know. And he turned to witchcraft to get answers and direction. And ultimately, he died of suicide. You see, it wasn't his enemies that killed him. He didn't die by the sword. He died by his own sword as he plunged his own sword into his own life to kill him. Which speaks to me that, you know what? Your greatest enemy is not somebody. Your greatest enemy is not sickness. Your greatest enemy is not circumstances of life. Your greatest enemy oftentimes is going to be yourself. Matter of fact, your greatest enemy is not even Satan. Because Satan has no power over a child of God, but you can choose to run from God. Your greatest enemy is oftentimes your own choices to disobey God and say, God, I'm going to do it my way. I'm tired of waiting on you. I'm going to make my own choices. So, what happened? I was in physical therapy this about a week and a half ago, and I've been doing intense physical therapy. If you don't know, I've had a total knee replacement. I've had a major surgery in my shoulder, and these things take time, apparently. I want it to happen now. You know what I'm talking about? Done. 6 days a week of several hours a day of therapy, and they're like, oh, come on, Lord. I want to get there. But one day, I'm doing what they told me to do, and then this physical therapist assistant kind of walks off, and she's taking care of other people and all stuff. And so I kind of got tired of doing what I was doing. I'm like, I'm going to go do something else. And God did something else, and they caught me, and they said, no, you go back over here. You keep doing the last thing I gave you. We'll come tell you when you need to move on. You know what I find out? That Saul was that type of person. He was quick to move on from the last thing that God told him to do. You see, oftentimes we don't hear God's voice, just like I didn't hear the, and I kept thinking, well, maybe they just forgot about me. Sometimes we think God has forgot about us. He's left us on the backside of the pasture, and that so we're just going to do our own thing. No. When you don't hear the voice of God, you keep doing the last thing God told you to do. You keep doing what he said last. And then eventually he'll come with another word. But in the meantime, until you get that next word, you just keep doing what God said to do last and say, God, I'm going to keep being faithful, doing what you want me to do, knowing that you will show up when the time is right. And that he'll move you on. So what do we learn from him? What do we learn from Saul? How did he start that was so good that he strayed from? Let me give you three things. He started, number one, small in his own eyes. He was small in his own eyes. That was a good thing. When I'm talking about being small in your own eyes, I'm not talking about woe is me. I'm not talking about pity me. I'm not talking about insecurity. I'm not talking about that. No. What I'm talking about is this. You may want to write this down. Small is not thinking less about yourself, but it's thinking more about your God. You see, when you are somebody in God, you don't have to prove yourself to anybody. Because you're the first, not the last. You're the head, not the tail. God has picked you and called you out, and he's made you one of his sons and one of his daughters. It really doesn't matter what the basketball coach says. It really doesn't matter what your employee says. It doesn't matter if somebody else says you're not good enough or you're not qualified enough. When God has his hand on you, you don't got to prove yourself to anybody. You keep walking in the favor of God. Chapter number 9 and verse number 21. Saul is picked, and he says, you're the next to lead the nation of Israel. And here's what his response was. Saul replied, but I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest of the tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of the families of the tribe. Why are you talking to me like this? This was not a pity me. This was a humbleness of heart at this moment in his life. That's why God picked him. But if you go to chapter number 15 and verse number 17, you find a whole nother David. This new Saul is a whole different person. As Samuel looks at him and he says this, he says, Saul, you were once small in your own eyes. And when you were small in your own eyes, God lifted you and anointed you king over the nation. What happened? It could be that the position went to his head. It could be that the palace made him feel good. It could be that the victories that he had puffed him up. Come on, I see it happen quite often in people's, and every single one of us, we're humanity. All of us have the temptation of beginning to glean from our successes and our achievements, and it begins to go to our head. Come on, we get a new dress, and all like, man, look at me, I'm looking pretty good. Come on, we get a new car, we get a new home, we get a promotion, and all of a sudden that promotion that meant with another $10,000 increase, oh man, look at me, I am doing good. We get a diploma on our wall. I've seen people work their butt off through college with a kid at home to get a diploma on their wall and humility of work, and all of a sudden they get a diploma on their wall and they get a job and it goes to their head and they forget about God who's provided for everything for them. Come on, don't let diplomas on the wall, promotion that you get, money in the bank, homes that you live in, cars that you drive, go to your head. Remember that you're still created from the same dirt that you were before you had that diploma or you had that home in your car. You hadn't changed. It's still by the grace of God. It's not by your works, lest any man should boast. It's by the grace of God. I know that you worked. I know that you gave, but it's still every good gift comes from the Father above, not from you. Two factors, let me throw out to you real quick, that will help you stay small in your own eyes. First off is this: how you treat others is a determining factor of whether you're small in your own eyes or not. Hear me? How you treat others. Let me just say this. How you treat the person serving you in the restaurant when they mess up on your meal. How you treat the person through the drive-thru. How you treat the janitor that works at the company you work with or at the school that you at. How you treat the person that's checking you out at the grocery store. How you treat people is a telltale sign of whether you're puffing yourself up. Secondly, how you talk about yourself. The boasting, the platforming of you, to making yourself look good. Come on, I remember when we started North Church, I went from a position that was very influential. I was helping lead 500 churches, and I had recognition, I had a great income, I had an executive position, and all of a sudden, I left at 34 years of age to start a church in my living room with no money and no people, zero, nothing. And there was a part of me that the pride began to rise up and begin to want to say, when I tell people, I don't want to, because it's really weird telling them, oh yeah, I'm just like, we have nobody, we have no money, just You can come to my house. We can have church. But I wanted to tell people about what I once did. And this is what I did. And look who I am. And look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Hear me. I talk to guys. Oh, my goodness. They're still talking about their football achievements 20 years ago. Come on, I talk to ladies talking about what they did back years. At some point, we got to get past that, church. Be small in your eyes. You don't have to prove to anybody who you are in Jesus Christ. God's anointing on your life will reveal that to other people around you. Are you with me? Stay small in your own eyes. I remember whenever my mom and I got that position and I was elected out of basically nowhere. I was the backside of the pasture put into a leadership role. And I remember my mom calling me up and she reminded me, she said, and she did for the next couple of years. She'd remind me quite often, Rodney, remember who you are and where you came from. May you never forget who you are and where, may we not forget who we are and where we came from. When it comes to our walk with God, may we never forget what we've been saved from. If you have been raised in church and you have been raised sleeping under, how many was raised sleeping under a pew like I was? Because back then, you just Wednesday night, Sunday night, revival services. I was in church all the time. I doesn't care if I was raised in church and if I had never done drugs, never done alcohol. I was a sinner on my way to hell because dead is dead. And you either are alive in Christ or you are dead in Christ. And I was dead in Christ, but there came a day that I realized my depravity and my sin and what had separated me from God. And I chose to give my heart to Jesus Christ and I became a son of God, joint heirs with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You got to make a choice to realize that. Let's look at number two. The time is slipping away. Number two, Saul started dependent on the Spirit of the Lord. He was dependent on the Spirit. What are you dependent on? What are you leaning on? What are you trusting in? Chapter number 10 and verse number 6. Notice what it says. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. That's Samuel talking to Saul. And you will prophesy with them. You will be changed into a different person. Has the Spirit of the Lord come powerfully upon you? There's some people, and let me just say, there's a lot of people that let the Holy Spirit kind of do a little bit of work, but has the Holy Spirit went powerfully upon your life? You see, the Bible says in John chapter 3, in verse number 34, it says that God gave the Spirit upon Jesus without limit, without measure. And we can stop and say, well, yeah, that was Jesus. But realize Jesus said, the same Spirit that rests upon me will rest upon you. There is an unlimited resource of power that is available to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is God inside of you. There's some people that have had emotional experiences and these baptisms of Spirit, and it's a one time, and all of a sudden you leave that behind. No. The Spirit is every day wanting to work inside of you. Don't be dependent upon your own intellect, upon your hard work, upon your power, upon your resources, upon your ability to be able to talk people into things. Depend every day upon the power of the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom, the direction, and the leading, and the favor that you need in your life. And he says, you will prophesy. Now, what does it mean there? That word prophecy has so many different definitions. Let me just break it down to the one I believe he's speaking of here, specifically for Saul, because Saul is going to be the king, the leader of the nation. And he needs to be a mouthpiece for the people. And so that word also means mediator between God and man. That word prophecy means that he needed to be powerfully and clothed with the Holy Spirit because he needed to be able to lead the people. Hear me on this. God is going to move upon you so that you can have a word for other people, because you're going to go to work with people. You're going to be in cubicles with people. You're going to ride in cars with other people. And God wants you to be so powerfully filled with his Spirit so that you will have a word of encouragement. You'll have a word of correction. You'll have a word of wisdom. You'll have a word of healing. You'll have a word of faith. You have a word for somebody else, because there is a world right out here that is turning to other avenues to find their sense of dependence. They're turning to prescription drugs. They're turning to alcohol. They're turning to being a workaholic. They're turning to cars and homes. But what they need is they need people endued with the power of the Holy Spirit that will give them a word from heaven above. That's what they need. That's what you need. And then lastly, it says here that, and you'll be changed into a different person. The Holy Spirit's work ultimately is to change you into a different person than where you are right now. Look at the person next to you, and God wants to change you. Say it. God wants to change you. God wants to change you. And if you're not changing, it ain't my fault. Come on, there's people that will leave churches after a few years like, oh, I'm not getting fed anymore. I'm telling you what, one thing you're going to get here is I'm going to open God's word and I'm going to give you the best I have. It might not be the most eloquent. I might not be the funniest. You may be able to find more entertaining speakers, but I'm going to give you God's word. And if you can't receive God's word and grow, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. I'm a big believer. I heard people say, well, they can't even pay attention to a children's. They can't. No. I can walk up in the kids' area, and I hope that you can too. And we all should be able to do this and sit there and listen to the simplicity of the gospel being given to those that are 5 and 6 and 7 years of age, and it should transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Paul told the Galatian church once, he said this. He said, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you listening to me? There's a lot of Christians that start good, but are not finishing strong. The sad part is later on it says this about Saul in chapter 16 and verse number 14. It says that the Spirit of the Lord departed Saul, and an evil spirit came up on him and tormented him. Let me just tell you this. There's a lot of theologians debate on the evil spirit. I'm not even going to break that down. Here's what I am going to say. When you stop depending on the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be tormented by an evil spirit. Because you can't do in the flesh what only God intended for you to do in the Spirit. Which brings me to the last thought. In regards to how Saul started, he surrounded himself with men whose hearts God had touched. Birds of a feather flock together. And I want you to stop and think about the type of people that you are just migrating to. Anybody listening? Because it is a telltale sign of the things that need to be broken in your life and set free from. There's generational curses, there's past sins, there's things that you just begin to migrate to that God's saying, I want to break that. I want to break that off of you. And I want to set you free. 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse 26, it says, when Saul returned home to Gibeah, a group of men whose hearts God had touched went with him. Did you get that? Men, are you hanging with other men whose hearts have been touched by God? Women, are you hanging with other women whose hearts have been touched by God? Because you're going to need it sometime. You're going to need sometime. Why did Saul stop? At some point, obviously, the people that had surrounded him, whose hearts had been touched by God, he began to push away. You know what I find happens sometimes? A couple of things. Either it's selfishness begins to rise up within us, pride, a sinful habit that begins to be coming back into our life, or sometimes we go through circumstances and we're embarrassed that maybe even out of our control. But then what we begin to do, we begin to resist those who have surrounded us. You see, the Bible says there is safety in the multitude of counselors. There's protection when you're surrounded by godly people in the house of God, with the people of God. And so what happens is as you begin to go through something, you just begin to press back just a little bit, begin to resist. It starts so subtly. I don't need any help. I don't need spiritual authority. I don't need my North group. I don't need the other ladies. I just kind of begin to push back. And you begin to start so subtly, so small. And then eventually it begins to, you begin to run from them. You begin to run. And I see this happen quite often. Pastor, I'm just going through some stuff. I don't need to serve right now. And so you drop out of serving. Oh, I don't need to be in that group. I'm going through some stuff. And you stop showing up to the group. Or you stop faithfully attending church. And you know what you're doing? You're running. You're running, you're running. And when you run, you become prey for the enemy because now you're out of the circle that had been surrounding you, that could be a hedge of protection around you. What's the answer? Be real. Be real. You see, none of us want to be real because it's vulnerable. It's humbling. It's laying it out there on the table. But you got to surround yourself with men, men. You got to surround yourself with women, women, that you can be vulnerable, that you can lay it out there, and you can say, here I am. Here's what I'm struggling with. Here's what I'm going through, and I've got to lay it out there right now, because if you do not have that, eventually it's a matter of time that you are going to push away from those who could help you most. I wrote this down. God wants to expose who you really are, not who you appear to be. Do you hear me? God wants to expose who you really are, not who you appear to be to everyone else. Which brings me to a story in the Old Testament, a story of a man named Elisha. The book of Kings tells this story as Elisha is a wanted man, and the Aramean army is after him. And he's in a town called Dothan. And it says that there was a great army that came and surrounded the city in the middle of the night. The small little town it was, really just a small town. Surrounded it because they were after Elisha. And so the servant of Elisha went out the next morning to get some water. When he walked out and the sun is coming up and he sees all of this army surrounding their small village to get Elisha, he's scared to death. He runs back into Elisha and grabs Elisha and says, you got to come see this. Elisha walks out with him and he sees the vast army of the Arameans around him. And he puts his arm around the servant guy and he says, it's okay. Those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And then he said, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see what I see. And God opened the servant's eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw chariots of fire gathered around them, surrounding them with hosts of angels. And you know what? They were all struck blind, those people that were after him that day. And the Bible says that Elisha just led them, all these blind men, thousands of people, into captivity. Come on, I want you, that speaks volumes to me. Because you see, when you feel surrounded by life, by problems and circumstances, if you are surrounded by people whose hearts have been touched by God, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws your way. Those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. If you get the doctor's report that is negative, let me tell you, those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. If you got somebody turning against you at work, those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. If you're going through a divorce, those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. If you fall on your face and you've made some bad decisions, those who are for you are greater than those who are against you. Church, let's don't give up in well-doing. Know that there is a God that is able to get you through, and you got to surround yourself with the men and the women of God and know that you will get through whatever you're going through. Father, I pray now that you fill this house. Fill this house with people that are small in their own eyes, dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit, and that will surround themselves with men and women whose hearts have been touched by God. There's some of you right now that maybe you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been running. Maybe you're far from God. Maybe you just need to return to Him because you've been in running mode. You've been in resisting mode. The Bible says that if you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. Do that right now. Right now where you're seated. We're even having baptism. We've got a number of people being baptized. Immediately following this, you can be baptized. You can follow up in water baptism. Right now is a proclamation to this world of your choice to follow Christ. Secondly, all across this room, there's individuals that you started well, but you're not finishing strong. Change that today. Change it. Don't let the devil hold shame over you. Realize that God has set you free to finish strong, and you're going to finish strong today. Secondly, there's a whole lot of you that have finished, you started strong, and you're doing well. But let me tell you, the devil is the enemy of your soul, and he's doing everything he can to get you to finish weak and to falter and to fade. And God's saying, finish strong. If you're like me, if you desire more than anything else to be a strong finisher and you want to finish strong, you don't want to be a Saul. You want to be like a David and you want to finish strong. In Jesus' name, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If that's what your desire is, stand with me and say, Father, I desire to finish strong. And would you lift your hands? Father, I pray across this room, we have people that finish strong. Finish strong, Lord. Not just start strong, but finish the way you would want us to start and finish. It's in your name. I pray this is done.